When you pray for friends and for family who are Christian, what do you pray for them? Sometimes it's obvious, isn't it? But when they haven't got a trip to the doctor next week, when their children haven't got exams, when their difficult relatives aren't visiting them this weekend, what do you pray for them then? Our question this morning that we're thinking about is, how do we pray in a way that reflects the heart of God and the purposes of God in the lives of the people that we are praying for? I don't know whether you've thought deeply about this before. Because, we rightly pray for others because we know that we need to. We know that we all need God's help. We're told to pray by Jesus. We're encouraged to be thankful and to present our requests to God. We pray because we know that God hears our prayer. But how do we know that the things that we pray for are God's will for us? Well, we're not having a comprehensive study this morning on prayer, but we're going to consider one of Paul's prayers as he prays in the introduction to his letter to the Thessalonians. So as we come and look at that, let me just ask God to help us. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of prayer. Thank you that we know that you're a God who hears and listens and acts. And we thank you for your word, which can inform and instruct us in how to pray. Lord, please make our thoughts this morning pleasing to you. Please help us to hear what you are saying to us. Amen. Well, hopefully you've got 2 Thessalonians open in front of you. On page 1189. What Paul's actually got here is more of a prayer report than an actual prayer. He's talking to the people that he's writing to rather than talking to God. And I've got a bit of a wardrobe problem here. I'm going to have to take that out. Hope you don't mind. Sorry about that. Let's see what he is saying in verse 3. We ought always to thank God for you. And in verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you. Why would somebody write down what they're praying for their friends and tell them their thoughts as they contemplate what they do when they're on their knees? Maybe to encourage them of his support. Maybe that's why he writes, to encourage them, that he is supporting them. It's always encouraging, isn't it, when someone says, I'm praying for you. I know your situation. I stand with you by praying. Paul had visited Thessalonica, but he hadn't been there very long before he had to leave in a hurry. Some people didn't like his preaching, and he had to Scarpa. But he'd heard about the church since. He'd written once before, and he'd heard about the suffering they were facing for being Christians. Well, he's certainly writing to encourage them in their hardships. I'm standing with you in your difficult times. Maybe he's writing and telling them about his prayer to teach them. Paul, after all, is a pastor. He wants them to grow as Christians. One way of helping others to grow is to be a model for them, isn't it? To model prayer, to model Christian living, to model how to love one another. We do that all the time. Paul is modeling his prayer priorities to them, to give them good things that they can pray for themselves and for those that they pray about. We sometimes do that, don't we, when we write a note. Perhaps we're not thinking about it. Someone is moving away, we write them a note, and we say things like, I pray that God will keep you faithful, or I pray that you will trust in God in your new situation. We're saying, be faithful, stay close to God. He's your strength, trust him. Well, without doubt, Paul wants to help his readers to think about how they're living and how they pray. And for this reason, it's always good for us to reflect on the prayers that we see in the Bible. And good for us to do that with this prayer also. Why did I choose this prayer today out of the many that could be chosen in the whole of the Bible? Well, two reasons. All Saints looked at this prayer about 3 weeks ago, and at the moment we're following the same series as them. That's one reason. But perhaps the underlying one is that it's the first prayer that that Don Carson writes about in his book, Priorities from Paul and His Prayers in A Call to Spiritual Reformation. I'm sure it's available in all good Christian bookshops. It's a fantastic book, actually. It takes us through all the prayers that Paul preaches, prays, and helps us to think about the content of them. What it is that we should be making as our priorities in prayer. I'm sure we'll look at various others as time goes on. So Paul says in verse 11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you. That's lovely to hear, isn't it? Someone constantly praying for us, not just once in response to a need. Not just briefly as a whim, but dedicated to praying regularly. Do you know that you've got people who constantly pray for you? It's a great source of encouragement. Sometimes you can pray with them, which is even better as well. I constantly pray for you, he says. Not only is he praying constantly, but for a particular reason. He says, with this in mind, in verse 11, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you. And I guess his actual prayer is there in verses 11 and 12, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But there's a framework in his mind that shapes his prayers for this particular group of people that he's praying for, that leads Paul to know what to pray for them. And let's look at that in verses 3 to 10. It starts with thankfulness. What is it that informs Paul as he prays for them? It's thankfulness. Look at verse 3. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. He says, we ought always to thank God for you. I wonder if you find that surprising. Paul is led to pray because things are going well in their lives. Often my first prompt is to pray for someone when I hear things are going terribly or when there's a great need. That's normally when I pray. Paul is prompted to pray because things are going well. It starts with his thankfulness. He's thankful for God's call on their lives. He sees evidence of God's grace at work in them. I wonder which words jumped out to you as that was read. For me, it's four phrases that jump out. Their love, which is increasing. Their faith, which is growing more and more. Their perseverance. And all of this in the midst of their persecutions, the hardships that they are suffering. Paul gives thanks for them because in the midst of everything that is difficult, they're growing. Their faith, their love, their perseverance, they're growing. And it's right, isn't it? And it's proper to give thanks to God for such things when we see them. When someone becomes a Christian or when someone grows as a Christian, it's God working in them. When someone is able to hold on in difficult times, it's because it's God that's sustaining them. We ought always to thank God for his work in a person's life. For who would they be without God? Would their faith be growing? Would their love be increasing? Would their stead be fast? If that's a phrase. And he says in verse 5, all of this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. It's thankfulness that motivates Paul's prayer. It's not to say that we are any the less for praying when we hear of someone's troubles. James said, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any one of you cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Yes, let's pray for one another's needs. But let's pray with thanksgiving. Paul in Philippians said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We pray with thanksgiving because our God is mighty and he acts in our lives. So what informs Paul as he prays for these people? Thanksgiving. But secondly, he prays with God's judgment in mind. I'm sure you noticed that in those middle verses. God will save some and punish others. Look at verse 6. God is just. And verse 8. He will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Well, this theme in itself is enough to make anyone pray, isn't it? The thought of friends or loved ones that don't know Jesus and who might not make it. It's a great motivation to pray. Paul is acutely aware that when Jesus returns, not everyone will be saved. He feels like a father to these Christians. He's brought the gospel to them and he's nurtured them through his letters. And he wants to see them grow. He wants to see them know Jesus. He wants to see them avoid God's everlasting judgment. Well, in their case, he's very confident. Whilst some on the day of Jesus' returning will be shut out from God's presence, others will be glorified. And he speaks to them with confidence. Verse 10, second half. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. Having trusted in the gospel of Jesus, they have every hope for the future. And Paul wants them to keep standing firm until that day. God's judgment informs and motivates his prayers too. I wonder if you're aware of your own framework, of what kind of things motivate your prayers. I guess it makes a difference to how you pray. If you believe that God heals, you'll pray in a certain way. If you believe God is good, if you believe God hears and cares, if you believe God promises peace or security or promises wealth or happiness, you'll pray in a certain way. If you believe God will do what he wants to do, whether you pray or don't pray, that'll affect your prayer life. If you believe that God doesn't interfere and wants us to make our own path, that will affect us as well. All of these things will make a difference to how you pray or whether you pray at all. I find that with so much theology, I could get very confused when I pray, not knowing how to pray in this situation or that, not knowing what to pray for in people's lives. I tend to pray for people depending on what I've been reading from the Bible that day. If I've been reminded about some aspect of God, then whoever I'm praying for that day, I'll pray that they might know that aspect of God. If I'm thankful for something that God has shown me, then I might well pray for the people that I'm praying for that day, that they too might be thankful for God in that way. I just find it a bit easier, really, the things that I'm learning about God. I just pray that other people might learn them too. It seems to work for me. You've perhaps got your own patterns. But I think that in this way, I'm praying in a way that's informed by the Bible and informed by God. And so I think it helps you to develop a framework for prayer. What am I learning about God and God's purposes? What can I pray for those who are on my heart? Well, Paul prays with these things in mind, the things he's been thinking about, the things he's concerned about, the things he's thankful for. He prays into the lives of these people. Right now, he's thankful for God's work in them, and he's concerned about God's final judgment, because not everyone will stand on that day. So with that in mind, let's look at his prayer. He prays two things in verse 11 and 12. Firstly, that God may count you worthy of his calling. And secondly, that by his power, God might fulfill every good purpose of theirs and every act prompted by their faith. Those two things, we'll just look at them very briefly in turn. He prays that God might count them worthy of their calling. God has graciously called each of us if we are Christians. He's counted us worthy, not by anything that we've done. He's made us worthy by Jesus, through Jesus. For our part, it seems that we have something to do to live up to that calling. He prays that they might be counted worthy of the calling. It seems that we have got something to do to live up to it. That we should increasingly become like Christ. Increasingly be more holy, more self-denying, more loving, more full of integrity. Know God better. That we would be more delighted to trust and obey our Heavenly Father. I guess these are some of the things about what it means to be counted worthy of the calling that we've received as Christians, people to be like Jesus. Well, this is our response to God's call on our life. He's called us to be worthy. Now, of course, we're not strong enough or disciplined enough to live up to the spec ourselves. That's why Paul prays, as he does. If the Holy God is to count us worthy of his calling, we must ask him for help. We must ask him to do it in our lives. Paul isn't simply asking the Thessalonians to try harder. He's praying for them that God will work in their lives to make them all that God would have them be. And I guess we're praying this kind of prayers for our family and friends all the time. In the midst of our prayers, when we're worried about exams or jobs or our family's happiness, or praying for health or for security or for safety, actually, far more than this, we're encouraged to pray that God would make them all that God would have them be, for lives that are worthy of what it means to be a Christian. And of course, when Paul is praying this for the Thessalonians, he's hoping that they hear that this should be a priority for their own lives, to live worthy of Christ, not just to pray for others, but to do so as well themselves. I take it that we all do want to be growing as Christians, growing in our relationship with God, growing in our love and appreciation of his love for us, growing in a life that is pleasing to God. Well, let's constantly pray for this, for ourselves and for others. And let's see the second thing that Paul prays for in the life of these Christians. He prays, again in verse 11, that by his power, God's power, that God might fulfill every good purpose that they have and every act prompted by their faith. He prays that God will fulfill our plans and our purposes. It sounds like exactly the kind of prayer I always pray, right? Quite selfish, really. God, come and bless me. Come and bless me and what I'm doing and my plans and my hopes and my life. Dear God, I really want this job, this opportunity. Or dear God, help Johnny to have his hopes realized, to get to this university, to have this dream holiday. That's what it sounds like. But actually, there's something really amazing and radical going on here in this prayer, because it's not a selfish prayer. The idea is that as we are transformed by God and his vision for our lives, that we will have new goals and new hopes and new desires which are shaped by God and by his goodness, that are shaped by our faith. We'll have new Christian goals. And that's what he's praying to be successful. Every act prompted by your faith, every good purpose of yours, as God is working in you, and as you dream of how you might live your life, he's praying that God would bring about those realities. He's praying for success in our Christian lives. I wonder what are some of the good purposes or good priorities that we might have on our hearts that God might bring to realization. Maybe it's when you know it's going to be difficult, but when you think, I'd love to witness to my neighbour. Or you see someone in trouble and you think, it'd be great to help them somehow. I wonder how I can do that. Or maybe there's a family on your street and you just want to get to know them, and you know that there are events going on at church. You just love an opportunity to talk to them or to tell them about it. Maybe there are new people coming to church and you want to create a good welcome. Or you work for a charity whether it be homeless or prisoners or whatever it might be. And you think, I really want this to succeed because it's doing good work for people. God, would you fulfill these purposes? I think that's exactly what it's all about. Unless God works in us and God works through us and empowers our plans, they won't bring forth any lasting spiritual fruit. And it could be even as we pray and as we ask God to give us good purposes, that he'll show the way and put on our hearts his plans and his desires. I think this prayer of Paul prompts us to think over, what are my plans and what is my agenda and what are my priorities? What is my direction? Do I have good purposes in mind that are prompted by my faith? How do I want to see God's kingdom grow in my life, in my family, in my community, in my church? What could I be attempting for Jesus? What could I be praying for God to bless and fulfill through me? And as a church too, that's really what our vision nights are about. I hope you can come. They're all about finding God's purpose for us and asking for him to come by his power and bless the acts prompted by our faith, the good purposes that we have. Why does Paul pray? What does he pray? He prays that God might count a life worthy of the calling. It's an aspiration for us to live up to our call. He prays that the good purposes and plans that Christians have would come to fruition. Have we got good plans and purposes that we are asking God to come and bless? Why does he pray? Well, I think that's verse 12. He says, "We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him." He's praying for the glory of Jesus to be recognized and to be at work in us. He's praying for believers that they would be transformed and be made like Christ, glorious. And his ground for this prayer is the Lord Jesus. We pray this according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a biblical prayer because it's a prayer prompted by Paul's understanding of God and his purposes. I hope that as we study prayers ourselves, that we would be inspired to pray in the way that that God's people pray in the Bible, that we might have a biblical vision of what God could do in our lives. And that as we pray, the things that are on our hearts increasingly are the things that is on God's heart. And we'd have the great joy of seeing him bring them alive in our lives and in our community. Let me close with a very short prayer. Dear God, thank you so much that you are alive and you are active in us, in our hearts. Thank you that you have brought to faith and you have increased love and you've given perseverance. Father, I pray for those who need particular strength right at the moment to persevere. Thank you that you have great purposes and plans for us, and I pray that we would share them in our hearts and we would see you at work in us to bring about great things which extend your kingdom and which bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to pray. Amen.